joined us series and study of Paul's letters. Are you guys enjoying us? Anybody get anything out of this? Yeah? Thank you. The rest of you, I hope you get saved soon. Anyway, all right. We're just having fun today. I'm glad you're enjoying us. Seen a lot of testimonies of people saying, Pastor, man, how'd you know what I needed to hear this week? That's the Holy Spirit. It's amazing that we can teach a lesson today, like we will today, and I'll have 20 different people tell me 20 different things that they got out of this message. Why? Because when we hear the word of the Lord, it's the Holy Spirit who translates it to our life. And what you need to hear, the Holy Spirit will reveal to you and encourage you or challenge you in those areas. It's amazing how that continues to happen. Today, we're going to pick up, again, some of Paul's letters. We're going to look in the book of Romans today. Romans was a great, great book that Paul wrote, and I think you're going to be challenged by it today. Now, Paul at times could be very contradictory in his teaching. Sometimes he's talking about this, and then he goes to the extreme opposite. And then he goes back to this and goes to the extreme opposite. And sometimes if you don't quite understand it, you can be a little confused. And so today, I believe we're going to tackle one of these subjects that can be a little confusing. And so I want to make it very clear and do my best to share it in a way that when you leave here today, you say, boy, I understand that. That makes sense now. This is where I'm headed. So I want to talk to you about the thought, it's not addition, it's transformation. It's not addition, it's transformation. You know, many of us think when we are saved, that when we receive salvation, at salvation we think, all right, we try to add on now. What's happened? We get saved, now we want to add on all these works, things we need to do, good works we need to do. But realizing that when we are saved, when we receive the salvation that comes through the grace of the cross, that it's not an addition that comes to our life, but it's a transformation. And see, until you realize this, you're going to be stuck. Until you realize that we have been transformed by the grace of God, we have been transformed out of our old nature into a new nature, until we grasp this and understand it, we're going to be stuck and we're going to struggle with a lot of things in our old nature. And so today we want to talk to you about this thought. It's not an addition, it's transformation. Now, Paul talks a lot about in the book of Romans. The first three chapters had a lot to do with our sin. He talks a lot about how we are not righteous on our own. We just not there. No matter how good you think you are, you're never good enough. And Paul spends a lot of time talking about our sin, and then he goes on to talk about some things. I want to give you this illustration so I can help you here. Come here, Johnny and Johnny. Give me a hand here. Johnny and Johnny, that's a good road. On the bookends and same name. There you go. Hold this sign right here. Hold this sign just like this here. Now hold your sign up, everybody see it. On both sides. There you go. We got my sin over here. And we got Jesus' righteousness, right? And this is the struggle, because what Paul was talking about right here was that you and I, we have our sin. And no matter how many good works we try to do in our life, we can never on our own be righteous enough for God. See, that's what the whole Old Testament is pointing out to us, is that no matter how many laws we try to keep, no matter how many good things we try to do, we can never obtain righteousness on our own. Because Scripture teaches us that even if we have one small little blemish sin in our life, we're just as guilty, we're just as unrighteous as the person who's committed all the sins there is in the world. There's no in-between. There's no kind of good and sort of good. You know, it's either you're all bad or none at all. And the Bible says there's only one who was ever righteous, only one man who ever walked the earth who was without sin. It was Christ. And so Christ has his righteousness, and you and I have our sin. Big problem, right? Because without righteousness, we can't be reconciled to God. So Paul goes on to teach us that our sin is keeping us from attaining righteousness on our own. You can try to be good all you want, you'll never be good enough. You can try to be as good as Mother Teresa, and you're not good enough on your own just through those works of attaining righteousness. But something amazing happened, and this is why it's called grace. Because think about it today. How many here has ever had an account and feel like, you know what, my account just isn't like it needs to be? Anybody had a bank account and wish it wasn't a little more? Yeah, come on now. You know what I'm talking about. You're like, you know, I'm looking at what I got to pay out. I'm looking what's in there, and they don't match up. And you write out your checks to pay your bills, and you're just praying to God that they don't all go through on the same day. You're smiling because you know what I'm talking about today. We've had those days. We've had those weeks. Some of you had those years, okay? And so, you know, it's a struggle sometimes. And you're like, you know, I can never seem. But how many like it when you get a big refund or you get a big check? Maybe you got an insurance settlement that came in. Or maybe you got income tax return and you deposit that into the account. You feel good for about a week, don't you? at least for 1 week, you sleep a little better at night. But see, we're never good enough on our own. But what if you were broke and you just don't know where it's going to come from, and then all of a sudden you got a letter in the mail, and it was from your bank, and it said, hey, there's this millionaire. He decided he was going to take your balance and put it into his account, and he was going to take his balance and put it into your account. He traded accounts with you, and you didn't do anything. Now, some of you today who are very reserved, who says, I don't think you need to be shouting in church. I think you need to be very quiet and reverent. If that happened to you, you'd be like, oh, thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. You'd be shouting. You'd go crazy. You wouldn't care. No, would you? Why? Because you would know that would just be a miracle. But see, this is what happens when we accept Christ and the grace of the cross. It says this, that says that it has been accounted to us righteousness, which simply means this, that God took my sins and gave them to his son Jesus and put my sins into his account. And he took his righteousness and put it into my account. That's why it's grace. I don't earn it. I can't do it on my own. It's grace freely given to me. And now he treated Jesus, his son, the way I deserve to be treated. I was spiritually bankrupt. I was spiritually unable to pay my debt. Jesus stepped up and took it. He took it to the cross. It says he took the weight of the sins of the world, the ones that were already committed and those that hadn't been committed yet. He took all the sins and took them and nailed them to the cross with the Son. And he gave you and I, if we accept the work of the cross, that you and I can receive his Son's righteousness. And we can never earn it on our own. It's freely given. That's why it's called grace. Are you getting the picture here? This is what we talk about. And Paul was very adamant, thanks guys, very adamant in us realizing that this was what you and I were going to have a hard time with. Because he was painting this picture of grace in our life and understanding it. Now listen, works matter. Works matter, but they don't count toward my salvation. I can do all the good works, and they're important, but they don't count toward my salvation. I can do all the good works I want, but they don't make me righteous. That only comes because of what the cross, that God took his son's righteousness and deposited it into my account. I didn't earn it. If I didn't earn it, it wouldn't be grace, right? It'd be works. And so Paul came against that, and his teaching was making it very clear that you and I realize that we can't do enough good things to earn that righteousness. Works matter. They're important, but they don't count toward my salvation. But look, works do matter, though. Works do matter for becoming more like Jesus. Good works do matter when I'm learning to becoming more Christ-like, becoming more like Jesus. And so this is where the confusion happens. This is where a lot of times we miss it and we get confused. We are not justified by our works, but we do good works because we have been justified. Are you following me? We're not justified by my good works, but because I received it when I didn't earn it. I received it when I didn't deserve it. Now I've been justified, found not guilty, and now that pushes me forward. Now I want to live my life becoming more like Jesus. Now I want to live my life becoming more like him. See, good works doesn't earn my salvation. Good works is my response to my salvation. And Paul was painting this picture very clearly. Matter of fact, he addresses it in Romans 5:20. Romans 5:20, look what it says. God's law was given so that all people could see how sinful they were. The law was given so you and I could see that, man, we just can't follow the law without ever breaking some law. But as people sinned more and more, look what it says now, God's wonderful grace became more abundant. So Paul's saying God had the law so that we could see that we're not perfect on our own. But the more we sinned, the bigger God's grace was in our life. And so now he's put it out there. The grace covers our sins. All right, that's going to cause some problems, isn't it? That's going to ruffle some feathers the wrong way. Some people are not going to understand this. And so now we see in chapter 6, now he begins to come back and answer those questions. Now he comes back and brings clarity to the statement, and he's anticipating the people who will be skeptic, those who don't understand, and he comes back and he talks about it. Now let's pick it up in verse 1 of chapter 6. Now he says, so what then should we say? What shall we say then? He asked the question, are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? Can we just go out and sin how we want to? That's what he's asking. All right, so since we got grace that's abundant, can we just go out and sin? That's the big question everybody's asking today. Can I just go out and live my life how I want to live? See, Paul understood that there would be two groups of people that would really struggle with this message of grace. So you guys come back, give me a hand one more time. We have the group that's called legalists, and then we have the libertarians right here. Not the librarians, the libertarians. All right, hold your sign up. Let everybody see it, both sides. Hold it high. There you go. All right. So we have two groups of people. He knew that once I taught that grace would abound much. He knew that right away, he already knew, it was going to be all these libertarians that would take it one way and all these legalists would take it another. And so Paul was bringing instruction to us on his letters dealing with both of these camps because they're both wrong. And he was wanting to make sure that we find a balance in grace. So he wanted to make sure we understood it. And so with the legalist, they come and say, all right, Paul, time out. You're talking about grace. If you talk about grace too much, people are just going to think they have a license to go out and sin and live how they want to. There'll be no order. They won't go to church. They won't ever do anything for God because they received this free pass. You know, basically they got to get out the jail card. They can just skip through that. They get a free pass to live how they want to. And so they were fighting it. So we gotta keep them honed in. We gotta keep them committed. So let's put all these works to grace so that people receive. They believed in grace. They believe, yeah, it's the power of the cross. It's Jesus that brings through his blood forgiveness. We understood all that and they accepted that. But they were afraid that message would weaken the gospel to the point where people would not live it out. And so they would say, all right, so let's add all these works. And so he was against that. Remember, he was saying, don't let anybody trick you. Don't nobody take it away from you. Remember it. We're saved by grace. We don't earn it. And then he had the opposite happening where people are like, woohoo! That's what I'm talking about right there. Because you know what he's talking about? The more sin there is, the more grace there is. And I'm like the best sinner here. Hallelujah. Like, man, I got a lot of sin. And I do a lot of sin. And I commit a lot of sin every day. But you know what? Paul said there's a lot of grace, and so together we make a good team. So let's go party. Woo! And they go out and live however they want to because they think the grace covers them, so I can just go out and live however I want to. Woo-hoo! Yeah! No order, no conviction, no integrity, no accountability. And every time someone says, hey, man, you shouldn't do that. Well, I got grace. I got grace. Paul's like, shut up. Listen to me. This is what I'm trying to tell you. This is not right, but this is not right either. Because you're missing it if you think that it's about going out and just living in sin how you want to. That's not what I'm saying. And you're missing it if you think you got to go earn it through your good works. You're missing it. It's right here in the middle. It's right in here in the middle. You receive grace freely, and that propels you now to pursue the sanctification of God. So let's get into it. Thanks, guys. Man, give those guys a hand. They look good today. So now what we have happening is Paul's teaching on this. So we all want to be right with God, right? I can't ask anybody here who wants to be right with God. You're like, yeah, me, you know. Unless you're an atheist, we all want to make sure that we've been justified, right? We want to make sure that we're in right standing with God. None of us want to miss heaven. We want to make heaven our home. We want to be united with Christ. We want to make sure we've got the salvation thing down. If you're here today, I would say that 99.9% of you agree with me on that standpoint right there. Where we struggle is the second part of this. We all want to be right with God, being justified, But we struggle with living like him. Sanctification. Because see, we struggle with this process of living it out and walking it out. We all want to be united with him, reconciled. But we struggle with, all right, now I got to start using self-discipline to become more like him. That's where we struggle. That's where the big struggle is in our life. We realize today that we can struggle with it. Look what he says now. It's verses 3 and 4 of chapter 6, verse 2, I'm sorry. Look what he says. By no means. Now, remember he asked the question, can we just go out and sin how we want to? And he answers, no, that's not what I'm talking about. Listen, guys. He's like, by no means. How can we who died to sin still live there? How can we who have died to sin, my sin, still go back there and say, you know what? I'm choosing to let sin control my life. Because that makes no sense. You've been propelled, set free from sin by grace. So why would you want to go back and live there? He's making it very clear that we don't live there. We've died to sin. See, justification happens right away. When we are saved, we become justified. When I accept Christ as my Savior, I confess him as Lord of my life, I believe on the work of the cross that Jesus died for the sins of the world, I accept that work in my life, I confess him as Lord of my life, my spirit is instantly justified. I have become righteous, into my account has been given to me. I'm righteous now, I am going to spend my life with Christ, okay? And so, but what happens now is that's justification. But sanctification is a process. Sanctification is a progressive process. See, sanctification, I'm justified at salvation, right? Hallelujah, I've been justified. Now he's calling me to walk sanctified. And that takes time. And that's where we want the justification, but taking time to say, right, I'm learning to follow the Spirit. I'm learning to die to myself, die to my sin, and to be more like Christ. And I'm growing. This year, I'm right here, this level. And then I'm growing on. Next year, I should be right here. And next year, I should be growing, taking a step. I'm becoming more and more and more like Christ every year of my life. That's the sanctification process. It's a progressive process. It doesn't happen right away. That's why you still struggle. And some of you feel guilty. You're like, man, why am I still struggling? I should be, man, I've been justified. I'm called to be sanctified. But yet, man, I still struggle with some of my sin because it's a process. But what's important is you know that sin doesn't have power in your life no longer. We'll get more on that in just a minute. But it's this process that God is taking us on and understanding. We have died to sin. Look at this. We have died to sin, but sin is still alive. So don't let it control your life. Okay, we have died to sin, but sin is still alive. Are you following me here? We have died to sin, but sin is still alive. And so when I die to sin, it simply means this, that sin does not have control of my life unless I give it control of my life. Sin can control me as a Christian if I submit to it. But what's been broken is the power of sin in my life. It doesn't have power to control me unless I submit to it. Sin has been broken. Don't let it control your life. Don't let it control your life. Let's keep going. Romans 6, 3 and 4. Look what he says. Do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Christ, everybody say into Christ. He's talking about water baptism here. All of us who have been baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death. We were buried, therefore, with him by the baptism into death. In order that, just as Christ was raised from the dead, by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in the newness of life. We see where water baptism becomes a public identification with Christ. I identify that you were cleansing me of my sins, and I go through the water symbolizing the cleansing. I identify with the fact that you were buried, and I'm burying my old man. I identify with the fact that you were raised from the dead, and I'm raising up out of that water. Becoming a new man, becoming a new woman. I can walk. See, baptism helps me to identify because at salvation, I am baptized into Christ. Get the visual right here, okay? So what's happening is this. At salvation, this is Christ, this is me, this is what happens. I am united with Christ at salvation. My heart is united with Christ. My spirit is united with Christ at salvation. But we struggle with that because we don't picture that in our spirit. We don't understand that in our spirit. And what happens is this. Let me give you this illustration. What happens many times is this. We take a message like today or any other day, maybe Monday morning, we go up, we pray, God, I know that you want to be near to me. And Pastor Gene talked about you coming near to me. And Pastor Gene prayed that it told me that if I prayed that, God, you would draw close to me. And he said that I'm united to you as salvation. Because can you come and lead me today? Holy Spirit, can you come and walk with me today? Holy Spirit, I'm doing miserable on my own. I really need Jesus just to be with me today. I don't know it all, but I just know I need Jesus. Amen. Jesus, what are you doing here? I prayed and Jesus is here. Oh my God. This is awesome. Wow. I knew you was an OU fan. This is awesome, Jesus. Come on, Jesus, come into my house. Let me show you around. And we can't bring Jesus in. Ah, oh, Jesus, man, it's so awesome. Oh, I can't wait to spend time with you today. I've been hearing about this and I prayed and you're here. Wow. This is awesome. I'm going to spend time with Jesus. This is so awesome. This is so awesome. Well, man, I'll tell you what, Jesus. I got some errands I got to run. And I got to go out. I'm going to hang out with my friends today. And you probably want to go where I'm going. So, you know, anyway, I'm going to hang out. I got to do some things. But, you know, you stay here. When I get back tonight, you and me, right here. Our heart to heart, right here. I just can't wait. We're going to sit down. You're just going to talk to me. This is going to be awesome. So, yeah, I'll see you. I'll see you tonight. I can't wait. This is going to be so awesome, man. I can't wait to get back and talk to Jesus. And Wait. Jesus, what are you doing? No. You don't understand. See, where I'm going, you probably don't want to go. The guys I'm hanging out with, you probably don't want to hang out with. I'm just telling you right now. So you stay here. Here, you sit down right here. Make yourself comfortable. Here, read some of my magazines here. Wait. You don't want to read any of those magazines. I'll tell you what. How about you just stay here? Make yourself comfortable. Here's my laptop, my iPad. You can go in. Wait. Let me change the history button. Yeah. Don't want you to see that. Yeah. Okay. All right. You just stay here. Make yourself comfortable. Hey, you can watch the television. TV's right here. Here's the remote. Wait. Let me change the channel on that. Okay. All right. Here you go. You stay here. When I get home tonight, you and I. Yeah. We're going to spend time. We go out living our day however we want to. Trying to leave Jesus behind. Jesus, what are you doing? I told you I wasn't ready yet. I told you that I'm going to places I don't want to take you, but you got to stay here, Jesus. Don't come with me, okay? You stay here. I'm going out to do my thing. Jesus, are you not understanding me? I don't want to take you with me. Jesus, you stay here. And we leave him there because this is our problem. How many times every day do we leave Jesus right back on the cross? See, he's good for the cross. He's good for justification. He's good to bring me eternal salvation. But be united with him. Be sanctified with him. Let him lead me so I can become more like him. That's where we struggle. We want him to be there for our salvation. But what we struggle with is an everyday thing. See, we have been called to be united with Christ. See, grace, God's grace. My spirit is renewed in Christ. My spirit is renewed in Christ. So it's grace that transforms me to live for him and not let sin control my life. Grace transforms me to live my life so that sin does not control my life. Why is that important? Why is it important that I don't let sin control my life? If I've been saved, if I've been made justified, why is it important I don't let sin rule my life? Why is that? Someone give me an answer. Because people are watching me, isn't it? I represent Him. I'm His witness here on earth. I'm His witness wherever I go, my school, my job, my family. I'm His witness. And so He wants to transform me that I can be His light, that I can take His message. He wants to transform me to be that person. Turn to neighbor and give him a high five and say, God's transforming me. Is He transforming you? All right. Now listen, this is the problem we have. Let's pick it back up. See, the Bible talks about this word new. We're called to live this new life, right? I mean, all through Scripture, we see the word new over and over and over again, right? Or he says, for in Christ, all things become new. The old man has passed away. We see the Old Testament and the New Testament, this word new popping up when it comes to our relationship with Christ. He says He's going to give us a new mind, a new spirit. He's going to give us new thoughts. He's going to give us a new song. He's going to let the old man pass away. We're going to become a new creation. This is how the Bible translates and communicates that when we accept Christ, His grace, that we become new. All things become new. So let's pick it up now in this last part of this verse we're going to read today, Romans 6, 5 through 7. He goes, since we have been united with Him, okay? To see it again. Since we have been united with Him in His death, we will also be raised to life as He was. We know that our old sinful selves were crucified with Christ. We know that sin might not lose its power over our lives. We are no longer slaves to sin, for when we died with Christ, we were set free from the power of sin. This is what's happening. Paul is saying that grace doesn't just justify us. Grace sets free the power of sin in our life. And he's wanting us to realize it. It's grace. God's grace will set you free from a withhold of the power of sin in our life. So if the power of sin is broken in my life, the only way sin can control me is if I go to it and give it permission. When I submit myself to that sin and give myself control, it can control me. But if I walk in my spiritual authority, that sin is broken in my life. And so I want you to get this now, okay? I want you to get this. This is what really needs to happen. I believe some of us here today, we need to have a better understanding of this. What's it mean that my old man is dead and my new man's in control? It means that my old man's over there. I can go to it any time. But I've got to spiritually acknowledge that that man is dead. And it's not having control of my life. I believe today some people just need to step up and have a funeral for your old man. Have a funeral for your old self. Some of you just need to step up.
Grab your Bible. Friends, we've gathered here today to pay honor to a man, the old man, my old flesh, who is now dead. This man was a selfish man. This man was full of self-pride. This man let his lust control his life. This man thought about nobody but himself. This man lied and he cheated. This man dishonored God, and this man let his flesh control his every move. This man didn't take an account for anybody but himself. But this man is dead.
Sometimes you just got to speak it out. That old man is dead. Have a funeral. My old man has been dead. But the good news is this. Come on, somebody. The good news is this. But the new man. All right, now. But the new man doesn't have control
doesn't let sin have control of his life, but the new man is given control over to the Holy Spirit. The new man has been united with Christ. But the new man, see, the new man is not going to follow the steps of generations before. No, they're breaking that curse. That curse has been broken. The new man is going to say, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. There's a new man. There's a new woman stepping up and say, I'm not going to be abused any longer. I'm not going to self-doubt any longer. I'm going to let God control my mind. I'm going to quit putting my trust in relationships. There's a new man say, I'm not going to let sin control my life. There's a new man, and he's walking in spiritual authority. She's walking in spiritual authority saying, those old things are gone. The new man is walking. I have been united in Christ. The power of sin will not control me. The power of the Satan will not control me, but I'm going to walk new, set free, walking after the sanctification and becoming more like Christ because I am united to him. Somebody give God praise. Amen. Hallelujah, Father. Remain standing today. Come on. You know what I'm talking about today. We just got to bury that old man and declare in the spirit what the new man is in your life. Some of you today, you've been allowing yourself. You've been allowing your sin to control you because you didn't realize it. I'm under grace. No. You're under grace. But listen, sin has no control in your life. You've got to declare it in the spirit. Scripture says we must resist the devil and he must flee from me. So when I begin to have sin trying to creep back up and attach itself back to my life, I say, Satan, the blood of Jesus be against you. I have been set free from that person. When he attacks my mind, I say, Satan, my mind has been renewed in Christ. When he brings back your past, I say, no. That thing was buried. That thing was buried. I have been raised again, a new creation, a new person with a new purpose. And that purpose is to be united with Christ, walking in sanctification. I have been set free. Live like it. That's what Paul said. Live like it. Let grace transform you to live your life free. Walking to sanctify yourself, becoming more like Christ every day of your life. Today, I know there's a lot of people in this room, and how many just want to be honest, Pastor? As you're talking, I realize I've given too much control to my old man. I've been saved, I've been justified, but I've given way too much control to my old man. Anybody here want to be honest? Come on, yeah. Come on, let's be honest. Today, I hope you're challenged to say, I'm ready. I'm ready. I'm ready to give that thing up. We're going to close with this song. A song we've sung before. But I want you to see the spiritual significance today. It says, there's power in the name of Jesus to break every chain. That's what happened when I had salvation. The chains of sin were broken out of my life. They don't control me anymore. Stop giving up control to it. No. There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up to follow after Christ. If you want to come down to the front today and say, man, I'm stepping out, man. I'm burying that old man. I'm stepping into something new. You're welcome to join us. But come, let's declare it. The chains are breaking, amen.
Come on, we invite you to come down and worship with us this morning. Come on, sing it. There is power.
There is power
in the name.
Jesus.
Come on, come down here declaring the goodness of Jesus. Come on, leave your old man at your seat and come receive your new man, the new grace. Come on, there is power.
There is power
in the name. And what does that name do? It breaks every chain. Come on, sing it from your heart this morning. God, break everything. Come on, let's sing it. There is power. Come on, let's break it in the spirit. Come on, one more time. One more time, come on, to break every chain. Break every chain. Now come on, give them some praise. Come on, give them a shout of praise. And you're free, and you're receiving the newness of grace in your life. Hallelujah.
Come on, one more time. You got to praise. Father, we thank you, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. I want to pray for you one more time today. Can you just raise your hands where you're at? Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you, Lord, that you have given us a new creation. You have given us a new heart. You have broken the power of sin in our life. And I pray today for those who have been battling with letting sin control them. The Father, they are seeing themselves new today. They realize they've got to have a funeral for that old man. He no longer exists. That old person no longer exists. Now, Father, today I pray that, Father, we are setting our mind free, our heart free for the control of our past. And God, I pray right now that the power of the cross would come alive. The power of grace would come alive. The transform us. The power of the cross would transform us to be, to excel, to become more like Christ than ever before in our life. God, I thank you. And we say together, amen and amen. Come on, one more time. Got a hand clap? Now listen, today before you leave, I want to tell you this. If you have not been water baptized, you need to get water baptized. I mean, what a great time. Yeah, I need to say the old man is buried and dead. If you haven't been water baptized, go back there. Sign up. We want to baptize you next week. God bless you. You guys have a great, great day.